and assault on one of the last unclaimed aviation records resumes tomorrow. Sikorsky says the X-2 has flown for the last time, and Delta says it will drop service to 24 small markets. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 19th, 2011. Norman Surplus, a pilot, adventurer, and cancer survivor from Ireland, has received permission from Japan to cross its airspace, which will allow the continuation of his attempt to be the first person to circumnavigate the globe in an autogyro. Surplus is flying a German-built MTO-3, a tandem open-cockpit gyro powered by a turbocharged Rotax 914. His attempt to complete the trip last year was scuttled when he attempted a hot and high takeoff in difficult surroundings and had to ditch in a lake in the Philippines to avoid terrain. Bureaucratic delays in the UK stalled the approval of repairs, and eventually Surplus ran out of good weather. With the Bering Straits and the North Atlantic both ahead, he made a frustrating decision to pickle the aircraft for the winter in the Philippines and try for a completion this year during warmer months. When China flatly denied Surplus permission to cross its airspace, a route across Japan became essential, but Japanese regulations do not allow any aircraft under 500 kilograms, or about 1,100 pounds, to fly more than 3 kilometers from their local airfields. He'd already busted that limit by about 9,400 kilometers. A grassroots campaign urging followers to contact their local Japanese embassies to lobby on the adventurer's behalf apparently proved fruitful. A waiver has been issued, and the flight is on again, starting tomorrow morning. On his official blog, Surplus's team writes, quote, "Patience is a virtue, they say, but Norman's patience and persistence is a lesson for us all. His dream to be the first pilot to fly an autogyro around the world meant too much for him to ever contemplate giving up, and today that persistence has paid off," unquote. One of the more interesting and unusual aircraft profiled by Aero TV at last year's annual Popular Rotorcraft Association convention in Mentone, Indiana, is described as a total loss after an accident in Michigan. Acclaimed experimental aircraft builder Dick DeGraw built the machine for his wife Carol, and she dubbed it D-Bird 2. The aircraft was a gyroplane which combined a collective pitch control with a powerful pre-rotator to allow vertical or jump takeoffs, and according to a family friend, it was immediately after such a takeoff from a field near the couple's home in Napoleon Township, Jackson County, Michigan, that turbulence at treetop level caused a loss of control. Carol DeGraw is said to have only a few bumps and bruises, but the Associated Press report she was taken to a hospital for evaluation after the accident Friday morning. Dick DeGraw is a legend among experimental rotorcraft enthusiasts. A former motorcycle racer and mechanic, and a self-taught machinist and designer, his first attempt at home building was a scratch-built, deep-intermeshing twin-rotor helicopter, which has now logged about 650 hours and is still flying. D-Bird 2 was built after Carol said she wanted to join him on flights in his original Gyrino, another single-place jump-takeoff gyro. Find my interview with Dick and Carol and great footage of both machines in action last year in the archives of aero-tv.net for November 1, 2010. Sikorsky Aircraft says last Thursday morning's flight of the X-2 technology demonstrator will be its last. The early morning demonstration flight was conducted from the company's new Sikorsky Innovation Center for invited guests. It was the 23rd test flight of the X-2, which flew about 22 total hours and achieved a maximum cruise speed of 253 knots in level flight on September 15, 2010. That milestone was also an unofficial speed record for a conventional helicopter. The S-97 Raider helicopter program is the follow-on to the X-2. Sikorsky VP of Research and Engineering Mark Miller says the program will design, build, and fly 2 prototype light tactical helicopters to enable the U.S. military to evaluate the viability of a fast and maneuverable next-generation rotorcraft for a variety of combat missions. Delta Airlines has served 90 days' notice on the U.S. Department of Transportation that it plans to drop service to 24 of its small markets as it retires its Saab turboprops and some 50-seat jets. The 90-day notice triggers provisions of the Airline Deregulation Act of 1978, and DOT will have to find other carriers willing to bid on serving what are called EAS, or Essential Air Services, markets. EAS was a political compromise made back in the day to gather enough votes from smaller congressional districts to get dereg passed. It's an entitlement program which guarantees continued access to scheduled airline service in markets where too few people use it to make it profitable for commercial carriers. Delta says flights in these markets average 52% of seats filled versus 83% for all markets as an average. EAS sometimes flies empty planes when no tickets sell. Delta says it will offer customers already booked for travel in these markets alternative transportation choices or refunds. Southwest Airlines has announced an agreement in principle between SWAPA, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, and ALPA, the Airline Pilots Association, which represents AirTran pilots, which would integrate the two groups' seniority lists. Southwest Airlines finalized closing of the acquisition of AirTran on May 2nd. Mike Van de Ven, Southwest Airlines Executive VP and COO, noted, quote, "The unions and company negotiating teams have accomplished a task that is rare in this industry, developing an integrated seniority list and transition plan for our pilots outside of arbitration. It's just another example of our people taking ownership in the integration of AirTran into Southwest Airlines, and that's our culture," unquote. Captain Chuck McGill, Southwest Airlines VP of Flight Operations, says he's proud of both groups. Quote, "Our pilots have demonstrated exceptional leadership through their dedication to this process and their commitment to the integration," unquote. Up next on ANN, the FAA says the rules were followed in a fatal skydiving accident. Bell Helicopter will displace 100 jobs from Fort Worth. And air guitar will be taken to a whole new level at Oshkosh. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has concluded that the death July 10th of a veteran skydiver working as an instructor for Skydive Hawaii does not appear to have involved any violations of regulations. Ashley White, a 39-year-old native of Australia, reportedly had more than 12,500 jumps logged when he jumped from a plane at 14,000 feet near Mokulea. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Honolulu Star Advertiser, quote, "The victim apparently was unable to deploy his parachute because he was knocked out or incapacitated during a collision with another skydiver," unquote. White's parachute was found to have been properly packed by a certified rigger. The collision reportedly happened at about 5,000 feet. The other jumper landed safely after suffering facial cuts and was not hospitalized. The Honolulu medical examiner said White's death was caused by multiple traumatic injuries due to a fall. A memorial service was held Friday. The Star Advertiser reports at least six people, including White, have died in skydiving accidents on Oahu since 1991. Statistics kept by the U.S. Parachute Association show 21 fatalities in the United States in the year 2010 out of an estimated 3 million jumps. Bell Helicopter has alerted about 100 employees working in its Fort Worth, Texas facility that their jobs will be moving 350 miles to the northwest, to Amarillo. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the affected workers are buyers of parts and materials for military aircraft, such as the V-22 Osprey and H-1, that are produced at the company's Amarillo plant. ANN has obtained a copy of an email sent by Mark Lewis, Bell's senior HR business partner and director of labor, to members of United Auto Workers Local 317, which represents white-collar workers at Bell. Lewis comments, quote, "The most efficient and effective procurement model in this highly competitive global market is to co-locate tactical procurement with our major assembly facilities. This is in line with industry best practices," unquote. The message also promises employees they'll receive direct communication regarding the changes shortly and says the move will happen by the end of the year. The purchase of Cirrus aircraft by Kaiga, China Aviation Industry General Aircraft Company Limited, has not gone unnoticed by the general news media. The Washington Times highlighted the new Chinese ownership of Cirrus in reporting a purchase by the U.S. Air Force of a customized version of the Cirrus SR-20 to be the service's new trainer. As ANN reported July 7th, the Air Force Academy will receive 25 SR-20s designated as T-53A trainers in the customized configuration. starting this summer and continuing through 2012 in a deal reported to be worth $6.1 million. While the Cirrus deal didn't get much attention in most U.S. media, The Washington Times reports that it's a problem that the aircraft maker's parent company is 100% owned by the Chinese Communist government. The paper also noted the handling of the deal by propagandists. Quote, "The Chinese Communist Party mouthpiece newspaper People's Daily on Tuesday called the transaction revolutionary because it marked the first time the U.S. Air Force ordered an entire set of aircraft from China for military training equipment," unquote. The Times also found a report in the government-controlled English newspaper China Daily, which said, quote, "The acquisition of Cirrus will be an important step for Kaiga's global expansion plan, which aims to set up R&D, sales, and service centers in China, the U.S., and Europe," unquote. Financial analysts probably were not surprised when it was learned Cirrus Aircraft was getting new Chinese owners, but the announcement certainly startled the general aviation community. New developments involving Cessna and Hawker Beechcraft suggest we'd better get used to such announcements. Cessna Aircraft's Bob Stangerone recently confirmed exploratory discussions are underway with AVIC, the Aviation Industry Corporation of China, not about buying the company, but about collaborating on production of a business jet for the Chinese domestic market. China has already said it plans 50 new airports this decade as it rushes to serve its booming economy with infrastructure long taken for granted in the West, and opens airspace formerly reserved strictly for military use. Stangerone tells the Wichita Eagle, quote, "A significant market for business jets in China is expected to emerge once the challenges of the infrastructure are met," unquote. The same request by AVIC for information on possible collaborations also drew a response from Hawker Beechcraft, where CEO Bill Boyster recently told the Eagle that he's been in discussions about the potential of a venture for final assembly of one of its airplanes for the emerging Chinese market, and that an agreement could be announced by the end of this year. Finally today, you've probably heard of air guitar, but what about aircraft guitar? The annual auction at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh may be most famous for its customized Ford Mustangs, which have sold for as much as $500,000 each. This year, one of the more interesting auction items is an aircraft guitar, or more specifically, the Zenith aircraft guitar. The guitar itself is a Landrick Custom, a dual-pickup solid-body electric built by Rick Land, which resembles a classic Fender Telecaster. It's finished in white, with images of several Zenith aircraft and the logos of Zenith Aircraft and EAA AirVenture 2011. The artwork has been airbrushed and painted on by artist Jason LeCavalier, and the guitar is to be autographed by aircraft designer Chris Heinz at the Zenith Builders Honorary Banquet on July 27th at the EAA Nature Center. There's reportedly a starting bid of $1,500 already in place, and there's speculation the value of the guitar might get an additional boost when it's used in a live performance at AirVenture. Well, let's see now. REO Speedwagon lead guitarist Dave Amato sometimes plays a Telecaster, and the band will perform Monday the 25th, opening night at Oshkosh. Now, this is complete speculation, of course, but how cool would it be to own an aviation-themed guitar that was actually used by REO Speedwagon to play Time for Me to Fly on stage at AirVenture? Then again, you would face the perspective check of hearing your kids ask, "Who are they?" That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.